Drunk Punk Therapy contains graphic and explicit content that's probably not suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
And here we are.
Are we on?
We are on. Oh, shit.
That's okay. I can cut that out and save it for something fun. Well, welcome to Drunk Punk Therapy, where we're drinking Guinness and JMO and vodka tonight.
Jesus Christ, and Diet Coke. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to watch my calorie intake, okay?
Me too. That's why I keep drinking Guinness.
And then we just don't eat dinner. Yeah, but anyway.
No, that's not true. I eat lots of dinner, and then I eat lots more dinner, like 11:30 at night.
Yeah, well, midnight
and
snacker.
I don't eat anything all day. But
anyway, here we are.
The drug diet.
We're getting this Wednesday started with a hot minute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are here at Willie's Lounge on 1716 South in Maine. This is home away from home for, I think, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not at work and I'm not at home, I'm here.
Unless we're at a concert.
Yeah. Yeah. You always know where to find me.
Yeah, we always know where to find you. Anyway, are you Dustin tonight?
Right now I am.
You're Dustin right now.
Oh, I have so many
of his pseudonym will pull up by the end of the episode. But tonight we're...
I have so many aliases, and I hope the FBI isn't fucking following this fucking podcast, because I have so many goddamn aliases still already. Well, we're going to get into that.
We're going to get into that. But what's our topic tonight, babe?
What is our topic?
I mean, we could go.
We were going to just say hookers and blow, but, you know.
Hookers and blow.
Let's go.
We talked earlier in the year about...
if it's easier for you to sit here.
I'm not sure how to be sensitive.
Wait, before we get much further, who are we sitting down with? This is our friend Whitney.
We're sitting here with Whitney.
And I understand what, because we've talked about this episode for a little while.
Yeah.
We've gone back and forth because this is a very personal story, even though there's a lot of people who know me. I'm open about it. I'm not ashamed about it. But at the end of the day, I still would like to be cautious. Obviously, that's what we're doing, the back and forth thing, where I was like, should I go as myself, or should I have an alias type of persona? That I finally was at the point where I'm like, you know, fuck it. Like, this is my life. I am not ashamed whatsoever. And
you shouldn't be, yeah.
And to be honest, I think that everything that I've gone through, or anything that anybody has gone through in life, happens for a reason. So if that means this topic that's going to be brought up is to help facilitate anybody to get information and or maybe bring a little bit more depth to what they thought who I was or who I am as a person, then let's fucking go. Because
so what is the subject?
So, and I guess we never really talked about a one word or one sentence way to explain it. But if any, yeah, I guess hookers blow, hoes and blow, or whatever you want.
Hookers and blow.
Let's go.
It's usually the first thing that people think of whenever they think about sex work. Like, when they make fun of it, it's hookers and blow.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, and that's a joke of it. But,
yeah.
But So we're going to talk about, I think, we're going to talk about sex work.
Correct. Sex work.
Sex work is work.
Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And it's work. And I mean, can you get more punk rock than prostitution and other parts of that? I mean, honestly,
I think there's a, I don't think that I'm wrong in when somebody talks about, say, an escort.
Right.
Somebody talks about a dancer. They're a prostitute.
Right.
There's a stigma behind
just any type of sex work.
Yeah.
They're automatically a prostitute.
Yeah.
I get that.
And there's definitely a stigma behind them, but you know, and my response personally is that fuck, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, if you're a fucking janitor or you're a fucking, you know, a sluggo fucking pipe fitter like myself, or you're selling your body to drugs. It's just how you sell your body.
Right. And I also feel like that's the reason I wanted to touch upon it with you guys, because there's a little bit more to it than that. I feel like that's what people naturally think is what it is, like, men who never covered the different history, that that's what they're doing. They're selling their body. And for me, how I even got involved into this world in the first place was never my intention of being like, I want to have girls be able to do the most, you know, to facilitate this, I don't even know the word how to explain it, but like what it came down to is companionship is what a lot of the people were looking for when they're calling these types of businesses, or, you know, even going into a strip club. I get that they're going in to see a beautiful woman that's naked, but a lot of the time is they want attention from that woman. They want her to be able to acknowledge their existence and for them to feel like this beautiful woman who's getting the attention of all these other men is paying attention to them. It validates them in a completely different way than they're getting in any other area of their life.
Can I ask, at what capacity did you go into
how I got involved into the world?
Into the industry, right. Yeah.
The industry,
yeah.
What capacity, and why?
So that's a loaded question because there's so many different areas I can touch on this. And for me, I know a lot of girls, obviously. I trained a lot of girls because I was running and actually training. But being in the world, you become friends with other girls in different agencies and girls in strip clubs and whatnot. And I felt like the whole reason I got wound up in it was I was first and foremost recruited. So let me rewind.
Yeah.
So I had a guy friend whose mom was an escort for years and years and years. That's how she provided for my friend and his little brother. Their whole life was she was an escort, and she was working for, at the time, it was the only escort agency, and it's still technically like the number one escort agency in Utah just because they've been around for so long. But his mom had left this agency, and she went to her son and was like, I have my little black book with all of my regulars contact information. I could essentially start my own, but I'm too old, I'm too tired, I don't want to do it. I want to give this to you. And he was on board. He knew how much money his mom was making. But I think at the end of the day, he also realized he is a man. He's in his 20s. He's a young guy. He just looks like he's a guy that's trying to pimp girls out, you know? And
we got Jory.
Okay, I'm a great guy.
That's two podcasts in a row that she's interrupted, and we're like, go away. You can see there's something going on here, and every time.
So either way, so this friend had an opportunity land into his lap where he was basically given a silver platter. He had all the contact information to start it up and be able to contact people who were regulars for this other agency. He didn't feel like he was going to be able to impress upon girls enough coming across as a younger man that he wanted to bring in a woman that could relate to other women that the girls would respect, that could essentially be like the face of the company.
Okay.
And if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
And he had a girlfriend at the time that he was kind of having make the phone calls and whatnot. But she was still very young and she didn't really know what she was doing. Like, it was everybody's first time, so it was trial and error.
Right.
So the topic of conversation had got brought up to myself and my boyfriend at the time, who was friends with the guy. That's kind of how I got introduced to them. And he was like, Whitney, the reason why I think you would be a good person to come into the company is you're not the cut, like, mold for most madams in the industry. Because I'm more educated than a lot of them. I didn't come from the world a lot of the other girls came from, that I felt like I could talk to them in a way that they knew was real, and where I didn't have a hidden agenda. And that's really why I did get involved, is because I had a lot of girlfriends who were in different agencies where the owners didn't give a fuck about their safety. They didn't care about anything about the girls, really. They just wanted to get the money. They wanted them to get to the location that somebody called on. And even if that means putting them in a dangerous situation, they really didn't care.
Yeah, sad.
And I had a couple girlfriends who I would hear their stories, like, I know that this is pretty brutal to hear, but I had a girlfriend that got sent to a house. The house wasn't even actually having people live in it. The guy broke into a home.
Oh, no.
And he texted the app for the, you know, the girl to go meet him there, and he raped her at gunpoint. And, like, and then he had her drive her to her bank and have her get all of her money out of her account.
Oh, my God. And then he robbed her?
And then he robbed her.
Jesus.
And stuff like that happens all the time. And that was under the number one agency in Salt Lake City. So, obviously, that goes to show.
Yeah, you only have so much control, right? Yeah.
And so, sorry.
The way I've always understood it, I think, what really is that, when somebody is brought to a place, Mr. Slack.
Two beers and a shot. Okay, I'm going to cut that out. Yep.
The way I always understood it was that, you know, especially in that situation, is that, you know, somebody is dropped off at a location, but there's somebody like waiting outside, like,
not all the time. And that's the thing that's really messed up, is it really depends on the girl, what she wants to do. If the girl says she wants a driver, every single time she goes on a call, she's going to get a driver. There are some girls who have been doing it for so long, they don't really care. I think they're used to being put in dangerous situations that they're like, fuck it. I really don't care.
Now, as somebody that's had several guns pointed at their fucking head in my life, that's not cool. That's a very fucking traumatizing fucking thing.
In any circumstance.
Especially when it comes to, you know, as you were saying, but the more upscale companies in Salt Lake, I would have thought that they had
security to protect these girls, but
there's somebody outside, there's a code word, we're going to get you out of this situation.
Right. Yeah, so let me kind of break it down for you the way that it's supposed to go. A lot of the times, if you're working for an agency, they have an agency website that they can go contact, and it will have like the picture of the girl, say like a little bio, whatever, and they can see her price range, and they'll be like, oh, I like that girl, I want to have this much time with her, whatever. And I think a lot of guys are like, oh, I don't want to go through an agency because I'm getting charged more. Where at the end of the day, it is doing themselves more of a service to go through an agency than an independent girl who, and when I mean independent, that means that she's not licensed in the state of Utah.
Right.
She could basically just post an ad on Craigslist. At the time, there was Backpage. Backpage is no more, but there's a bunch of other websites that would want to post their ads and guys can contact them. And still, agencies do use those websites. They just lie. They lie and say, oh, so-and-so is an independent girl, and it's not, you know? But the benefit of going through an agency is you have to have that girl, when they're trying to get their license, it's called an SOB license.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Sexually oriented business license.
Yeah.
And how they get that is they have to go get tested, make sure that they have no STDs. And it's through the county, you know, so it's all legitimate.
Right.
And then their license as an independent contractor is around like $1,500 a year. So up front, you have to pay $1,500, and that's to verify. That just verifies that they're clean and that they are able to now work through a company that is going to facilitate another business license that makes it all legitimate.
Right, right. This way everybody is safe.
Right. And yes. Then the agency is supposed to do their due diligence whenever anybody contacts them to do their research on the person to make sure that they're actually who they say that they are.
Right.
The location that they're supposed to be at, if it's a legit location that looks safe, and ask specific questions.
Well, you know, you've known me for a while.
Yes.
So when I say,
are you a legit safe person?
Maybe. The
yeah, that's not going to happen.
You know
no.
I'm going to be there. You know.
You can catch me from this time to this time.
That being said, back in my escort days.
You were a
general? Oh, yeah. Well, not a lot of people know that the movie American Gigolo
was named after you.
Was roughly based on me, but they took a lot of creative liberties on that one, just so they didn't have to necessarily fucking pay me for the fucking movie.
Right.
I used to go under the name of Steve Lankershim.
Steve. Good old Steve.
Steed.
Oh, I thought you said Steve.
Steve.
Like the horse.
Like the horse. Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh,
as
I heard
in trigger,
Steve.
As in
I just heard Steve. And I'm like, you're just Steve. Steve.
No, I am Steve Lankershim. The movie American Gigolo was loosely based on my life, but they took a lot of creative liberties, so you would have to pay me royalties. But I got behind you, fucking Richard Gere, you cocksucker. But anyway.
All right, So you start working at this business, and like, what are your initial thoughts? Like, were you like, oh, I'm gonna go in there, I'm gonna take care of these girls, I'm gonna make sure they're safe, or were you a little nervous and scared of like, oh, what the fuck did I get myself into?
Well, for sure. I think even the whole time I was going in, I was asking questions to know if this was something I was even ready or capable to do, to be honest with you, because I had no experience with this in the past. That's why I thought it was so interesting that they came to me, and I think that they needed just a completely different personality to make their business be different than a lot of the other agencies that were, I don't even want to say thriving, but were, you know, just in business.
Yeah, they were there, they were existing, and
yeah, were
and
existing.
Things were happening. Yeah.
Salud.
Where's your drink?
No, there it is.
I'll wait for a second.
All right, cilantro.
But yeah, so the friend whose mom was in the industry, there had been conversations that, like I said, were transpiring prior, and I think I was just maybe even one of the few people that he had had conversations with to see if they wanted to get on board. And I would just ask a lot of questions. I was really curious. I was intrigued. Like I said, I had a lot of friends who were involved in it. So I was getting a lot of different experiences of what was going on behind the scenes. And when I met with my friend's mom, that's what really, you know, tied me into everything. Because she's very professional at what she does.
Yeah.
I'm like watching both of them. Like, I know.
I peek a lot of shit.
Sorry, a couple like, little looky loos.
I'll get over it.
He just stared.
I'll get over it.
Oh, no.
No. Just,
but she.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we got Lee sitting here who is not mic'd, but you're hearing him because
you can probably hear him. But she was actually really cool. She broke it down to me. She's like, hey, Whit, like I know you know nothing about this. Ooh, but this is something that you need to know. She's like, and she was very professional. She talked to me like you should to like keep girls protected, right? So you can't go tell any escort that's working for you to say, hey, you have to go have sex, you have to go do anything sexual to these people. That's against the law. You cannot openly say that you are going to facilitate any type of sexual favor. What they basically say that escorts are is a companion. All I'm saying is legally, obviously, prostitution isn't legal, right?
Yeah.
Escorting is. So the way that the businesses will thrive or any escort is they have to say, like, I cannot. They say, we will take donations. That is what they say. They're like, for the more fun, the more tips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can never openly say, or they can, but it's against the law. If they're like, oh, $100 for a handjob, whatever. You cannot say that. And really, truly, if you're not wanting to get caught, if you're wanting to be professional, if you're wanting to handle things in the best way.
That's smart.
Yeah, so
it's all about work.
Legally, so prostitution is illegal, right?
It's illegal in Utah.
So prostitution still takes place in Utah, obviously. Even in escort agencies, they take place.
It does.
So, but the only way that they're able to still be legalized is because they are not vocally saying that they are going to give a sexual favor for a specific amount of money.
Right. There's working around the system.
Yes. And it's more calculated. And but that was kind of the whole thing, is it's never going to stop. Like, the whole world is the oldest profession to ever take place.
Right.
Right? So it's going to continue. But, so, agencies who are legitimized agencies still, like, even though it is against the law, are telling the girls that they need to be putting out. And for me, I'm like, that's so fucked up.
Okay, we are back. took a little break.
Are we back?
Yeah. Took a little smoke break and a pee break because we were all ready to piss our pants because of shots and beers.
Yeah, I was doing the pee dance.
But where we were hitting with Whitney was her stories. But what I want to hear is some success stories. You know, we hear all the horror stories, and that's fine.
We haven't heard the horror stories. That's what I want to hear.
We can get into that
another time too. Because it's like I don't want to make this whole thing dreary. It's already getting.
Let's hear some success stories of how the industry has done some good in the state, and how these women have succeeded in the industry and where they are. And I would love to hear some good stories, because we always hear the horror stories. We always hear how women are hurt and stuff, and I would love to hear how.
Whose shot is that?
That's mine.
This one right here.
I think that's yours.
Okay.
I'm gonna wait because you guys go for it.
When the kids come around, we'll grab you a shot, Lee.
Okay, Solange, my love.
Solange.
Salud!
And you can drink that when you do.
I've been there.
So, speaking about the good stories, this is the thing, is the whole reason we wanted to talk about this in the first place was, first of all, the importance and awareness of what is really going on, because what most people don't know is Salt Lake City, Utah, unbeknownst to most people, is the number one state for escorts and prostitution. And the reason for that, even more so than Las Vegas, okay? And the reason, I believe, is it's such a sheltered place with the whole religious demographic that's in play here.
Sure.
That a lot of men
stand. You can stand and move around.
A lot of men feel like they have to hide a lot of their life that's portrayed to the world in the daylight, right? But most people are human. So they still have their vices.
May I ask you, while you were in this industry, what would you say, say percentage-wise, were married Mormon
men?
For sure, 80% of most of the men were active in the Mormon church or married, and I know this for a fact because they would let girls come over to their house and like portray, they had all their pictures of them at the temple with their wives, with their family, portraying the whole religious life that they're living. But then they would contact these websites when the wife was out of town, you know? But it also came to show, like, they weren't fearful to hide who they were, which I thought was really funny, because there were some people who would contact who were not just bishops in a church, in the Mormon church, but they were in, like, the Quorum of the 70, or high up in the Mormon church. And so for me, I'm, like, laughing, because I'm, like, that happened so prevalently.
Yeah.
And they weren't afraid to show it, you know? All the time, all the time. And I think it's just because they, like I said, are human, like everybody else.
Right. Come back in and have a drink.
So,
this is.
All right. We're bringing up some high members. So you've seen some names, and we're not going to name names because that's not what we're about, but you've seen some high names come through where, like, oh, shit, this is, like, high member. So
the contradiction. Like, how do you take that?
For me, I always have to take it like I don't judge anybody, because I don't. I can't. Like, how am I supposed to? I was raised Mormon. I have family who is still very active in the church. There's parts of me who still identify with a lot of the teachings and belief system that I was raised to know, that is still established and instilled with me still today, you know? That, I obviously, yes. Wow. Yes, I don't go to church every Sunday. I don't do that type of shit, but there are certain things that, yes, of course. Like,
okay.
It's second nature for me just because it was my whole life. But that also, on the other end of the spectrum, because, yes, that's taboo. Religion, spirituality, Utah, whatever. But the crazy thing was that I experienced was the celebrity. Like, the celebrity part of the whole industry was still very much prevalent. We have, aside from, like, the Utah Jazz, like, there were a lot of other basketball players, athletes that come through. Utah singers, rappers, whatever.
Right.
And they know where to go because there's still the same websites and forums that they can go that facilitate the needs that they're looking for, right? And or word of mouth, especially if it's an agency that's been around long enough. They have girls, that know people that they can refer. But that's why I thought it was interesting, those types of contacts that you would come to me. Like, there was a very well-known basketball player, I'm not going to name names, but he had a home up in Park City, who obviously it wasn't his full-time location living in Salt Lake, but it was, he was here often. And he could go to any club or any bar that he wanted to and could pick up girls. But that's why I thought it was so intriguing that he would still call these companies to be like, hey, I want somebody to keep me company. And they would send pictures and be like, and or have them meet him at the places that he was at. They would hang out and then he'd say, okay, let's all go hang out at my house. He had his whole entourage with him. And there were times that he had girls who were normal girls that obviously were willing to do whatever.
Right.
But then the girls that he was paying for, he was paying like top dollar for these girls, and he's married. People know he's still married and all this stuff. And his wife seems to like know and not really care. And it was like his place that he could go do whatever he wanted. And there were several times that I knew the girls who I was sending up and or friends who were just there at the right time that met him, who weren't even in the industry. He just happened to meet him, and they were intrigued by these girls, and he gave them the option, like,
so you can be a part of this,
and I thought that was really fascinating to see.
I had the same kind of experience back in my escort days.
I know you say that and I can't help but laugh. I'm like, I don't know how to take that seriously.
When I was my Steve Lakership. I've already introduced earlier today. Yeah, you know, Steve Lakership. Yeah, but, you know, like when Adele would come through town, you know, she would look up.
Adele, that hoe, look at her.
And that whiny bastard.
Oh, and you love Adele.
I love Adele, but, you know.
Who doesn't love Adele?
You know, she'd always text me, and she's like, Steve, where are you at?
Let me ask you this, though, because we keep talking about the girls, and I know that there's an escort realm for men, too, right?
Yeah.
And
What the hell do you think I did for fucking 20 years before it became a pipe fitter?
Oh, yes. You independent contractor, you.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
Steed.
Yeah,
right.
But protecting men, do you find it harder to protect the men?
That's actually such a good question, because I never once had to have, I just didn't have the opportunity to have a man come in to say that that's what they wanted to do. I never had a man that wanted to be employed by us, aside from yourself, Steed, but I knew that there were plenty of them out there, but I felt like a lot of them were independent as far as, like, not being... Well, yes, of course you are, but they weren't licensed through an agency. They all did it...
By the way, check out my OnlyFans.
Oh, yes. Check OnlyFans. It out.
OnlyFans / Lee. All right, Lee.
Yeah. Do you even know it's forward slash
Steve, Steve Lakershim? If you would like, if you would like a private date.
Oh my gosh. Okay, can I just say really, really fast, because this came to my mind, and this is going to sound really fucked up, but, like, it's just the truth of the matter. But
I love this song. I love you too. This is probably the second time that I've said this on a podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
On this podcast, we're ignoring
you. But
the
one thing that I came to find out when I was learning the whole process of the industry to how to, like, protect the girls and whatnot was 99.9% of men and our women, but it was mainly men that were calling in wanting a sexual favor, companionship, if you will. It would always start very sexual. But I learned that a lot of it was just that they were lonely and they wanted companionship. And for me to be able to protect the girls and the business as a whole, to not have us be red flagged, which you already are whenever you submit your business license as a sexually oriented business.
Right. Yeah.
License.
No, especially in Utah.
You're automatically red flagged. And it's... mainly a cash business, you know, so that makes it more of a red flag because of tax purposes and whatnot.
Right, right.
But the conversation that you have to be able to be tight with, because they'll audit you and they want to make sure that you're following all the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the biggest things he would say, even if guys were talking sexual, because they would be like, what am I going to get for a hand job? What am I going to get for a blow job? What am I going to get for full service? And if you're a professional, you don't ever disclose that. You never say anything. And you also want to assume, for me, having the girls go in, I never wanted to assume that that's what they were going to have to do.
Right.
And my job was to be able to teach the girls how to entertain and create companionship enough for these guys that they felt satisfied that they didn't need that, or they could
sexual inner,
right? And or it's manipulative. I get it. Everybody's out to get their paper, you know. But to find a way to articulate themselves well enough to assume that there was a future that they could one day achieve whatever that they were wanting. But a lot of the guys came to find out that they ended up being satisfied more than enough than what they were originally contacting for, just by having the girl show interest in themselves and in the person that was calling and show an interest in their life, you know, without having to even give any sexual gratification. And that's what I thought was the most fascinating about the whole situation, is even
that's
if people...
That's actually really cool.
Isn't it, though?
You were able to turn something that could have been something illegal, and you turn it into something that is legal.
Mm-hmm.
And both parties are happy, and they both go home with the satisfaction of, one, I did my job, and two, he or she is happy with the service that they got, and that's exactly what this is about.
Well, and a lot of those people ended up being regulars. They would want more of that. They would be like, I want a friend that I could sit and talk more with, or somebody who's willing to just bullshit with me, do nothing with me, watch TV with me, and then if eventually it gets to like us getting in the hot tub or having a few drinks or giving a body massage, whatever it was all from consensual adults deciding what they wanted to do in that time. And I feel like it made them also feel more valued, because they're like, oh, she's not just trying to nickel and dime me. Like, she's actually taking the time to like get to know me and want to be around me as a person.
Well, that being said, sorry, there is a woman here at the bar, not here tonight.
Okay.
No, she's not here
tonight. All right. There's a woman that hangs out at this bar.
Anyway.
I'm like, you guys are whispering in the background, and I'm so...
Yeah, they're cute.
Yes. Okay,
So here's the funny thing, because you bring this. I'm going to bring kind of a semi-serious thing. So I'm in video production, and your mom is my video production, but
your mom.
So there are the levels of consciousness. One,
subconscious, unconscious, superconscious.
No, just levels of consciousness. Level one is love. Level 10 being the lowest, shame. So the escort service is trying to find level one consciousness. So, it's love. It's love and acceptance. It's not shame. It's your... The industry as a whole is trying to find for that person that level of love and acceptance, and that's where people really go for. And you know, I work in the advertising agency, and that's where we try to aim for fucking ads. And like Apple is a prime example of always trying to find the love thing. They never talk about money. R.C. Willie talks about money and free hot dogs. They don't give two shits about love.
I got
but
some
Apple,
free hot dogs.
The way that Apple does their advertising, they're building off of that love mentality. They don't ever talk about how much their shit costs, because they can't. It costs way too much for your own good. But you're like, oh, you got free hot dogs. So we're going to come down and buy a sofa.
Not a lot of people know this, but back when... Did you ever see the movie American Gigolo?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah, so that was a loosely based story of my life. And
I know he says,
he's on the walls today.
I find myself believing it for a second, and then being like, what?
They had some creative license. Yeah, on the movie.
Yeah.
But it was very loosely based on my life.
For sure. They followed you around 7 months prior, from what I heard.
Yeah. So back in the day, I was Steve Langershin. And yeah, I had cards being passed around in Las Vegas.
You know, cards passed around Vegas.
You know those guys that flip the fucking cards down on the fucking strip?
Yeah, yeah.
They flip
and them. then they hand you a porno card, and you're like, hey.
That was me.
Hey.
And I was Steve Langershin.
Okay.
But so that being said,
Yeah, where are you going with this?
That's not my real name.
I know.
That's not
Steve
my real
isn't
name.
Your real name?
So, let me, okay.
Hold on a second.
Hurry up. Okay.
I'm on a subject now.
All right. Finish up, baby.
So, as a person in the sex industry, you have to have a fucking name where fucking people can't fucking find you and fucking stalk you.
Oh, you want to know my name?
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, I'm
not. Happy to tell you if you wanted to know.
No, I don't, because I don't want anybody to hear this and like track you down.
Nobody can track me down because I'm not affiliated to the world anymore. And,
yeah,
but it's
you
like,
really are. But you're affiliated to our world.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, at this point,
and our whole audience of four listeners.
Well, and we talked about this because it wasn't even for the fact where I was like, oh my God, if I contribute to this podcast, everybody in the world is going to hear about it. I think for me, it was just more so, since it is my story, I wanted to be very specific on how I wanted it to be relayed,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But
that's
that being
fair.
Said,
who are you?
Well, so I was Madame Adriana. Like, I was Madame Adriana for
I love that name.
Yeah, and I do too. I love it. And it makes me so sad because now that I'm married and I'm gonna have babies, and I'm like, I could never name my baby Adriana.
Don't well, have babies.
So,
stop that nonsense.
Okay, so we've talked past tense, but are you still a madam? Are you still in this? Or
so,
did you let it go? Where are you right now?
So, yes.
Yeah, she's beating the shit out of her husband.
Yes, he knows.
He's
he
like,
knows.
Kick me in the balls.
He knows he has to sleep with one eye open and spot.
She got an ice pick on the fucking bed.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad
I
know.
Love that. But that is such a turn on because.
Oh my gosh.
It's a turn on. It's a turn on.
Is it?
It'd just be crazy.
It is.
So I need to sleep with machete under my pillow? Is that the turn
on? Oh,
God
damn.
Yeah.
Done. Finding a machete tomorrow.
Yeah. No.
Google.
Ice
where
pick
can
under
I find
Google. Amazon. Alexa, buy me a machete.
No. Honestly. Yeah.
Oh, no, please. You don't want her sleeping with machete under her pillow. Let's not Lorena Bobbitt
you, totally
please.
You don't know
me. Slice my own face.
I would know.
I would be like, I'm adjusting, and I'm like, I lost
Let's
my hand.
Let's cougar it.
Yeah.
Let's Freddy
I
cougar
know.
It.
No, we don't need a machete.
I'm kind of a sick individual.
Fucking sick.
We're not kink shaming here.
Yeah. No.
We're not kink shaming.
No, we get done fucking, then you stick an ice pick in my eye.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not
going to
do
let's get
oh,
into
God,
kinks,
no.
Please.
No. Kinks are like. All right. Okay, so you've come across some crazy fucking kinks.
Okay, so
I know you have.
Let me tell you this. So, I obviously, when I got into it, I wasn't wanting to be the person to go on the calls. I was wanting to be the person to train girls what to do when they went on the calls. But every now and then, there would come a call where I was like, I could make a lot of money and I wouldn't have to do a lot, right? So,
kick me in the balls.
This is all fun stuff.
Okay, this is fun.
All fun stuff.
So, there was a guy that started calling in and he was a complete novice. Like, he had never done it before. But he was totally open-minded. He was like, I am just ready and willing to do anything. He was the owner of a business. He really wanted to be a submissive type of person. Because you see that a lot.
So we're doing bondage, submission,
That being
where
said,
we're going.
I think for the vast majority of people that call into services like escorts and they want to be submissive.
Well, so that's the difference. So a lot of people who are smart and want to not have their identity be out in the public, they know it's safer for them to go through an agency because it is more legitimized, whereas them hitting up...
Would you say that the majority of your clients were submissive?
No, I would not say that. I would say that the majority of the high-paying clients were submissive. I would say that there's just a lot of clients who are just horny guys that just want to find a girl that they can fuck because that's what they think that they...
That would be easily acceptable to them.
Okay. Yeah. So I need to ask you.
Ask me.
Did you ever have somebody...
Here we go.
I can tell you right now, just before you even ask, I can tell you, I had gone on calls because I felt like it was going to benefit me, but I also knew the calls that I was going to be able to go into, I was going to be in charge, and a lot of that was questions prior that I was asking. So I
keep me in the fucking nuts
so
with my heels.
I knew already that I could go in and I was gonna make a couple grand every couple hours to just be there and
create entertainment.
Well, okay. back when I was doing my
and that had nothing to do with like any type of sexual favor. That would be like
all right. Money. Here's the money question.
Okay.
Typical escort said, I have no idea what that costs.
Okay.
Escort? What is that in an hour?
I mean,
like,
tens and twenties of dollars.
Well, so most, for my girls, it was 80 an hour just to get them there, plus tips, depending on whatever else they wanted to be able to facilitate during that time. I can say for me, personally, on the calls that I had gone on, where there was no sexual, exchange whatsoever, where I literally went and partied with them, the most I made in a night was $30,000 in a night.
Jesus Christ! 30 grand?
Yes.
Oh, that
30
ain't
grand.
Shit.
Yeah.
That ain't shit.
That's more than those I make in a... That's almost what I make in a year.
I have no idea where.
You went down to the low man's totem pole and sir, 30 grand? Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
One person, too. It wasn't even like a plethora of people.
Shit.
So this is
the limelight, though, of why women go into this. Is because when you have a $30,000 client, like in your sights of like, I'm gonna get that guy. Or I'm gonna get that person. I shouldn't say okay, but I should like okay. There's that option that I can have this $30,000. Is that the main potato of why women do this? Because here I am. I'm old, and I have done every job other than. I mean, I worked at a strip club, but it was a bartender. Oh, fuck you. It was a bartender, but it was very protective of the girls on stage. It was like, you're not going to talk to this asshole. I don't care what he offers you.
Right.
You're not going to go home with this fucker. Like, I worked at a strip club.
Right.
And it's a strip club in Utah.
Did
where...
you tell me the time I was working with Thunderbird but... down there?
No.
Yeah, so back then, I give myself a stage name because we all got to give ourselves a stage name.
Never gave myself a stage name.
No, because you never give your actual name.
No, it was just Shoop the bartender. I've been Shoop the bartender forever.
Back when I was touring with Thunder from Down Under.
Oh, God, you were not.
I was
Thunder from Down Under, perfect.
Okay, babe. Where are you going here?
Yeah, I just went out of sparkles.
Sparkles.
I was sparkles.
Yeah.
But backstage, all of us had like nicknames for each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh huh. Because you live this life in your mushroom.
So they start calling me Lil Smokey
Lil Smokey. That's all I see.
Oh my God.
I wasn't sure why they kept calling me that. You know.
Oh my God.
Gone sideways.
I know, I'm like, this is all gone south, ladies and gents. It's gone south. We're off the map.
We are on the, Dustin mentality.
Let me just say something really fast before you continue, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just saying, one of the things I have to, like, pat myself on the back for is... there were girls I really genuinely developed friendships with and love for. And I wanted the best for every girl that came in, even if we didn't see eye to eye on something.
Exactly, yeah. Because you're not the mentality woman. Women only understand this. There are women... kiss my ass. There are only women that... okay, there's the women that can handle women in certain situations, and then there's women that cannot handle anything beyond the realm of their own capacity.
Right.
There are women that support women, and there are women who don't. And where she's a part of an industry where women really need to support women, but there are... the few girls that come into that industry and they're like, oh, fuck you, and they don't realize that there's a support system that's actually going to protect them because they're so caught up in their own fucking pussy that they can't fucking handle that someone's actually trying to make sure that they're okay, that they're going to get home, and they're going to be protected, and
I also think that it's been cheapened. I know that's I just think the world in general is instant gratification, right?
Oh,
so they
totally.
Want to be in and out. But there is beauty in being able to take time a little bit. And I feel like that was something that I was able to cultivate with a lot of the girls where I'm like, if you take the time to show what you're worth and show your personality and show that you care about what this person is and, like, genuinely care to know what they have to say about themselves and them and their lives, it creates a bond where they want you to keep coming back. So I would have girls who I would train... and they would walk away with $5,000-$10,000 for a couple hours in the night, not doing anything, and it's because I was able to teach them their value and be like, talk to them,
appreciated. Some money though.
No, whereas I know a lot of girls who are putting out doing everything for
$20 blowjob.
Exactly. And I'm like,
well, you know, back in my day, you know.
Back in Steve days.
You got a blowjob for $10.
Like I said, you know, American Gigolo was very much based on my
for
life.
For sure, for sure.
But but they took a lot of you know, kind of you know, liberal creativity.
Yeah.
On the movie, so that they wouldn't have to pay me royalties.
But in actuality,
now that was back in my gigolo days.
Okay, gigolo, let me tell you.
May I bring up a subject?
Yes, please.
That we all have a stage name depending on what we're doing, right?
Yeah, and you have many stage names. So which one are we going for tonight?
Well,
Steed. With a D.
S-T-E-E-D.
Steed Lankerson.
I keep thinking of a horse, like that was
my gigolo days, and as I said, I think Richard Gere took a lot of fucking, but you know, back when I was stripping. I was just Sparkles.
You were just Sparkles. Hey, Sparkles, we're at an hour now.
Are we at an hour? Yeah, we've
hit this. And you know what? There's many things that I can ask. Like, this is such an interesting subject in a whole, and I've had it be a part of my life for so long. Like, Southern Exposure and Tyler and Woody, yeah, I'm calling out you two assholes because you were my bosses. But like protecting the girls and making
but
sure.
But they weren't. A lot of the time, Southern Exposure was not. But there was a lot of bars Tyler, that were not.
Tyler and Woody were so adamant about protecting these girls. They didn't. I think two shits what they took home. They were like, we're DJing, we're good, we're gonna play music, we're gonna have fun. And they were like, you're not going home with these guys at the end of the night. Stop this nonsense. Like, stop it. And that really was, like, at the height of Southern, that was, yes, I will have another beer. That was the mentality of that bar, is like, no, we're going to protect these women. No, you don't have to do further sex acts than what you're already doing, right? Like, you're already paying out the
ass. Because I was touring. I was touring with fucking Thunder from Down Under.
Oh my God!
And you know what they did to me? You know what they did to me?
My own business.
You know what they did to me?
They took your nuts and wrapped them up behind your asshole.
They fed me Viagra and cases of 5-Hour Power. You have no idea what the fuck they put me through.
Who taught you? Who's your coach?
It was not me.
Maybe that's what I should do now, is just be an escort coach.
Just an escort coach.
And do that.
Okay, so to wrap this up, though, you're no longer... Hold on. You're no...
We're wrapping this up.
All right, here we go.
So you're no longer in the industry.
No, I'm not.
You're wrapped up. You're bartending now full time.
Well, and it's been a couple years. It's been a couple years. I definitely took a pay cut, but for me, it was at that time in my life where it was never about the money in the first place. It was always about protecting women and or men if they came in.
Yes.
And I wanted to be able to educate them with information and gear them up to be able to make the most money that they could potentially make in the short amount of time without giving the most of themselves. I do have regulars who will still hit me up that will want me, you know, to facilitate
to madam for you. Okay. Or madam for them.
No. But yes, but it's been hard just because I think there's been a part of me ever since I got married where I'm like, I just don't want to deal with it anymore.
I don't blame you. It's a hard industry to be a part of. It really is because it takes so much of your soul really to facilitate sex work. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
In the whole entire industry. What the fuck are you talking about, honey? Even just bartending in a strip club was difficult on me. I'm like, I don't have big tits. I can't fucking... I was like, well, here we are. I can give you a good fucking drink. I don't have tits or ass to show you, but... And they were like, yeah, here's your dollar. And I'm like, man, thanks. Like, I was always, like, low man on the totem pole of the bar. And they were like, why are you bringing... I'm like, I have no...
Also, just so you know, like, there were times that I went on calls, like I said, because we either didn't have girls that were there and or I knew it was a safe opportunity, and I would show up because I knew I wasn't going to have to do anything, and guys would send me away. And I remember being like, what the fuck? Like, I would show up to the door, and they would just see me at the door, and they would send me away.
What the fuck?
It fucked with my head.
I got sent away a lot of times.
Can't imagine.
But that happened.
Why, babe?
Steed.
I said Steed. See, now you're doing the Steve thing. Ha!
Steed. I'm Steed Lingershim. And I'm showing up at your doorstep. And they send me away.
Okay. We're going to wrap this up. We're at an hour.
We
have kept Sweet Whitney for way too long tonight.
Thank you, Whitney.
This has been such a fun night. I think this is going to be like a part one.
I'm open, and we talked about this being a part one, part two.
We can do more than one episode on sex work.
You know, those of us that have been in the sex...
I was in it for 5 years, and I still have friends who are very heavily in it.
You know what? Five years is young.
Not a lot of people know that.
It's such a small amount the person that introduced you, she's probably like 30 years into the industry.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
What are you getting at? I'm 30 years into the industry. We're going to talk about that some more on the next episode
with Whitney. We're going to sit and talk idiot bartending, idiot free.
One part of my
idiot bar people.
I gotta pee.
You gotta pee.
Go
pee. You turn yourself
on. I love you.
Hold on. Yes.
We don't want to hear you pee.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye.
You're coming with me.
Turn it off immediately.
No, it's off.
Turn
it off.
It's off.
Just hug me.
Oh, how did you read that? Anyway. Okay.
This is Black Daddy.
Whitney and I are going to do the say lovey because Dustin took off to go pee. Thank you, Slack.
All right.
Whitney with the say lovey. That didn't quite rhyme, but anyway, thank you for. I know it's not quite the story you wanted to go, but you know what? I appreciate you and rolling with the punches tonight, and it was fun. And it was really fun to hear a couple anecdotes and just kind of touch base on on what goes on with the community. I mean, Utah is such a red state, such a conservative state. So it's kind of fun to hear that there's like this little like backstory of
so
what
many people
goes on. And you know what? You might be voting red, but those red little fuckers are hiring.
I mean, yeah, it's very contradictory.
They're not that conservative. They, you put it out there, and
you know what? To each their own. And I think it just should be a conversation that should be more open and honest. Because at the end of the day, we all have these same animalistic instincts that come with us.
Exactly.
And I just wish it wasn't so taboo. I wish that we could talk about it more openly.
Honey, sex work has been around since
the beginning.
3,000 years ago.
Right.
And I don't understand why it's taboo. I really don't. I don't I don't get it. And
I don't either.
I'm not one that's going to go out and sell my body personally. But I haven't gotten to that. And I know a lot of women, they know no other recourse, and that's what they do. And there's other women that, like, they're like, it's not bottom for them. They're like, oh, fuck, I'm selling this body because I have this and I own this. And here I am.
You don't own nothing.
His mic is off.
I am not
home. But anyway.
Maybe I am.
Sit down.
You are home.
Sit down.
Yeah. Or maybe I am. I have no idea.
No, we're just closing this out, honey. But it's like.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on. We're you're back. I got you already on. We're just closing this out. Like, sex work is work. And I wish that the general public, especially the conservatives, would just realize, like, prostitution should be legal, period. Like, work is work. If you're doing someone's plumbing at someone's house, or you're doing someone's plumbing at their house, like,
we all sell our bodies, but how we sell them, we all sell our bodies, how we sell them is up to us.
Well,
and
it should be up to two
consenting adults. It when there's rape and there's other things, I have an issue with that. But I think because of the taboo, rape and violence is accepted within the industry because prostitution's already taboo.
Right.
And so
I feel like if anyone gets raped, they deserve like,
well, no, I'm not going there. That's fucked up. I'm not.
No, no, no.
I've been raped before. Well, like three times. Like,
but hold on. We'll go on to this. We'll go on to this on a different time.
This is gonna be on one
thing. Take a breath.
That being said, did I ever tell you about the time that I was a male prostitute, but I was also a Buddhist that liked to shove gerbils up my ass?
That's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
No, that's a Richard Gere thing.
Yeah, no, that's anyway. A Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Anyway. No, I think we need to talk further on the adult entertainment industry.
And like, it's legal in some states. Why isn't it legal countrywide? That is shouldn't matter what state you're in, as long as everybody are consulting adults. Shouldn't matter what's being done, as long as both adults are consent. You can have your kinks.
No, you did not.
Well, that's why there's BSM or whatever.
Oh my god.
BDSM.
Yeah, continue.
But it's consulting.
Yes, but anyways.
No, we need this is going to be an ongoing thing.
No.
Because no, because I know, like, you didn't touch on necessarily the subjects you wanted to touch on.
I am okay. I'm at the point where I'm an
I touch on a lot of subjects that I wanted to touch on just in the bathroom a few minutes ago.
All right, we're gonna wrap up.
So here we are here at Willie's Lounge on 1716 South in Maine.
Yes.
And this is our home away from home. And
we sat with the sweet Whitney. And
we are
God
here with Whitney,
her.
Who I absolutely fucking adore.
God love her. God love her.
Motherfucker.
She's...
Yeah. Are you shitting me?
Stop.
What do you think I was just doing in the fucking bathroom?
Steve's gonna keep it in his pants until they pay.
Yes, this is gonna be an ongoing conversation. I hope so too.
I think that we can hit some other topics. I mean, it's such a huge topic that we can't hit it in an hour.
No. Plus that we're drunk.
Yeah. Cheers.
Speak anyway. For yourself. Just kidding.
Are you not drunk?
No.
Love
really?
You. Oh.
Love you oh. both.
Slug the fires.
Shot go.
All right. This really is an ongoing issue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
in that, you know, some states are outlawing this, and some states are allowing that.
It's not slowing down. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be continuing.
It is moving forward, and here is sex work, because work is
sex work.
Sex work is work too, and I love you.
Slanja.
I love you both.
Love you, Whitney.
Salud.
And thank you for tonight, because I think earlier in our conversation there was a little apprehension.
Yeah,
I mean, to a degree.
This ended up being a really fun subject, mm-hmm. and I think overall we had some really cool stories. And thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being open with us.
Of course.
And rolling with the punches and our drunk silliness. And we're going to end
that
this
said,
with...
That being said, if you want to get a hold of Steve Linkershim, it's 801-555-1794.
Hey, Lasha, better sit us there.
Steve Linkershim.
All right. And we love you, fuckers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Drunk Punk Therapy. Music by Press Gang Union, and artwork is by Shoop. Episodes are available wherever you can listen to your favorite podcast. If you have questions or just want to drop us a line, go ahead and email us at drunkpunktherapy@gmail.com and help us stay on air. Love you, fuckers.
If you don't shut your fucking mouth, I'm gonna shut it for you. I don't mean to complain, but you're slowly driving me insane. And you push me very much further, I'll beat you flat and blue. Do the world a favor and end your fucking life. You waste of space, you waste of skin, and waste my precious time. Buddy, here's your fucking clue. The world's better off without you. So take your sense of self-worth and shove it up your ass. Don't you slit your fucking lips. Dead and gone, you won't be missed. You wrap your lips around a gun you had in the past. Do the world a favor and end your fucking life. And waste the space and waste the skin and waste my precious time.
very much further. We'll beat you black and blue. Do the world a favor and end your fucking life. Waste the space and waste the